welcome, brothers and sisters, to another episode of Verse by Verse, where we read and study the Bible. Brothers and sisters, we're in an exciting study. I call this study the Genesis 5, Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5. And what we are looking at now is the creation of the world. We have for you on the screen Genesis chapter 1 at verse 2 for your reading pleasure. If you will, hit that like button, that notification button, and that subscribe button. For the reason, if you will, you just might want to tune in and get a little Bible podcast on your daily day today. Maybe even if you're just resting. Who knows? You know, the Word of God to hear, to read, to study is for any time, at any day, at any night, at any place. We say anywhere, you know. So let's get into this study. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2 reads, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters," with an S, the waters, not the water. It didn't move upon the face of the water, but the face of the waters. So it seems if there is in the mind or the thought process of what this would be, some of us, we would see maybe what we see today, the ocean, the seas, the rivers, and the streams. But it seems here that all of this water is combined together. It is not divided in no place, no way, but is called waters, which seems that the waters that are together, God is going to collectively combine them, but seems like divide them. Interesting. That's just my thought there. Let's go back up to Genesis chapter 1 at verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form." How is this? How is this, and how do many understand this? It seems to me that many see a gap in between Genesis chapter 1 at verse 1, as well as Genesis chapter 1 at verse 2. And there are many reasons inside of the discussion of the Bible, as well as for those who just read it for entertainment purposes. There is also discussion about Genesis chapter 1 at verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 at verse 2. Many believe that in Genesis chapter 1 at verse 2, that in the beginning, when God created the heaven and the earth, in the beginning, God created, ED, finished, completed, the heaven and the earth. Because of the ED at the end here, we understand that this is completed. However, there are those that believe that in the beginning, in eternity, in the mind of God, it starts in the mind. Creation, or the idea, for if one is deciding to move into a house, the house that they want to move into is the house that they have already constructed in the mind. But the house that is constructed in the mind, it doesn't have no walls, there are no floors, there are no doors, there's no windows, There's no upstairs, there's no downstairs, there's no first level, there's no third level, there's no fifth level, there's no 3-bedroom, 5-bedroom, 12-bedroom, there's no 1 bath to a 12-bath, there's no 1 garage and driveway to a 12 garage to a 24 garage and driveway. There's no business with employees working for your company, okay? There's no selective wife. There's no selective husband with how many children. And the reason why that it's not formed is because all of this is in the mind. It's in the mind. We're created in the image after the likeness. And one of the things that I see here is that in Genesis chapter 1 at verse 2, and the earth was without form. Let me take a look at this word without. Okay. This word without, see, absent of, in the absence of, separation from, independently of, without labor. If we can see here, we can understand that in scripture, the earth hangs upon nothing, okay? Independently of anything, it hangs upon nothing. But in the mind, it does not have that form yet, because it has to be spoken. There has to be a wisdom, a understanding that walks with wisdom. There has to be a counsel with might. There has to be knowledge and the fear of the Most High God in order for the earth to hang upon nothing. See, that has to be there. And the only way for that to be there is that God had to say, let there be light. See, that wisdom has to come in from out of eternity for this to take shape. Mind you, this is my thought. See, the Most High God declares to every man, make sure that your salvation is sure. See, there's too many of us who walk this earth, who looks at another man and at his or her situation, look at his or her decisions and try to judge their decisions, and still making the same decisions over and over and over, getting the same result, but trying to help a person get a different result. This is why we study the Word of God, and we read the Word of God, and we declare, if you will choose this as a pastoring, Bible reading, Bible studying, it's your choice. This is a podcast for the reading, studying, and enjoyment of those who choose to read and study with us. Okay? So when we look at this word without, see, without, let's go back here. See, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. And the earth was, notice this word was here, in order to really give Genesis chapter 1 at verse 1, addition to Genesis chapter 1 at verse 2 as a gap between, as you can see, I'm moving this up and down. Just imagine a gap in between, okay? Because of the ED here, in the beginning God created, and this is just a simple way of understanding this without trying to sound like a philosopher, okay? In the beginning, God created with the ED, okay, the heaven and the earth, okay? And I want to point out some other things. Yes, we will be going back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Okay? See? Here little, there little, right? And the earth was, this word was, is understood to many, or can be defined as be, okay, as be, and the earth be, okay, without form. Why? Because it's in the mind of God. It's not in form yet, right? But here, this word was is also understood to many as the past tense of became, okay? And the earth became without form. And how did that happen? It's in the gap, okay? It's in the gap. It's in the theory that men sit and discuss this. And because it's out there, it's very important to hear the discussions, because many believe that this word was is understood as became. However, it is not for me to judge what a man believes. Okay? That's not for me to do that. See? However, let's not put a stumbling block in between us that we fall. Okay? Let's not do that. So, if we can agree to not to put a stumbling block between us, then we have the right to agree to disagree. See? We have, because I see for me, and as I read, and when I discuss the Bible with those who are dear and those who want to know what I believe, when I see this word was, I see it as a past tense, okay? As a past tense, okay? And the earth was without form, and that was brings a reason. There is a reason. Was. Why? Why? Which means that if the word was is in the scriptures, the Most High God has to introduce a why. However, we have to look at it not just at face value here, alright? We have to look at it in the form of parable. Let me see if, let's go to the book of Matthew, and let's read the book of Matthew, and let's read the book of Matthew, and you know what, let's see, I'm not the best reader, you know, pardon my speech, you know, I'm not speaking this way to be rude, so excuse my rudeness, rude in speech, but not knowledge, news, okay? Let's look at this. The parable of the sower, right? Mark chapter 2 at verse 13 reads, before I start, and he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. Mark chapter 4 at verse 1, and he began to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. That's so powerful, man. I mean, tell you, this is not about excitement. Okay, tell you. Mark chapter 4 at verse 1. Check it out. The parable of the sower. Okay? Why did I read Mark chapter 2 verse 13?
Mark chapter 4 and verse 1, because most of the time Christ set or took a ship, okay? And the ship represents the protection of the church, right? The ship protected 8 people, okay? Peter asked for permission to come off the ship and to step upon the sea. The sea represents many tongues, languages, peoples, nations, tongues, okay? All of this is in the sea. Peter asked to come off of the ship and walk. And when you walk, what Peter did was take his eyes off Christ. Why? Because when you walk in the sea, when you walk amongst the nations, people, tongues, you see the world and all that it offers. See? And all that it offers. And when you see that, you then take your eyes off Christ and you begin to sink. And when you enter this world, whatever it is, when you enter into this world and you begin to sink, because the things begin to devour you, okay, and you cannot pull from them, you then reach your hand up and say, Lord, save me. And what he does is then take you and put you back on that ship. Find a local congregation, brothers and sisters, that teach the word of God, that open up the Bible, okay? Bring in those to that local congregation that is worthy of repentance. For John the Baptist said, who warned you? See, who warned you? See, so when you go to a local congregation, why are you going there? Why are you going there? You're going to the local congregation because the angel of the local congregation, the messenger whom the word of God comes unto through study, through prayer, through fasting, when that word comes unto that man then brings that word to warn that congregation. See, not the world, okay? Not the world. This is not about the world. But to warn that congregation of the coming Messiah, see? Warn them of me. So when you come in and you hear this warning, because the watcher is warning you, and what you're hearing builds you up to the point that you repent of your sin. Now you are in a local congregation that is worthy of fruit that is of repentance. See? So when you look for a local congregation, look for a local congregation, okay, that opens up the word of God, okay, that has no respect of person, because this is not about how you feel, how I feel, right? This is not about that. What it is, if you consider Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you believe that Christ was sent, if you believe that Christ is the Son of God, it's personal, individually, which comes together collectively. Let's get into this. The parable of the sower. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Now, I will say this. I do, when I read the Bible, as you can see here, I like to read the words. I want them to stick out to me. So I do hope that you are enjoying how that I read the Bible. As I say, I'm not the best reader. Please, you know, if you will, forgive my speech. You know, I'm not coming with, you know, trying to be the wisest speaker, one who knows it all. I just want to share the word of God and how that I see it with those who will to study, you know, for those who will to read, for those who say, you know what, I cannot read, and this is no judgment upon you. However, blessed are those who read it and them that hear, right? Right? See, the word of God is for everyone. See, it's for everyone. And by the will of God, let everyone who wants his will in their life, let them read it, hear it, study it. Let them sit at the table. See, let them come unto the marriage. Let them sit at the table, right? Matthew chapter 13, 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And remember, I read with that Mark chapter 2, verse 13, as well as Mark chapter 4, verse 1, the seaside. And we talked a little bit about how that I believe that I see what the ship is. I believe that the ship represents the local congregation. I believe that this is where the people go, all right? That the people go unto the local congregation. See, and in that local, see, that ship is in the sea. However, you are in that ship that's in the sea. Coming out of that ship into the sea, you just might sink. You just might sink. See, and understand that this is for the people of God, his people. There are those who do not believe none of this, and they have the right not to believe it. So why argue with one who doesn't believe it? It doesn't make sense. You don't believe it, why would I argue with you? That means I am trying to force you to believe this, or you are trying to force me not to believe it. Let's just sit down and let's just have a rapport with each other and just, you know, I respect the fact that you do not accept the word of God, that you don't see it that way. And because I accept that, see, and you have laws that you also follow that tell you do not steal, do not commit murder, we can sit down and we still can have a rapport together. We still can work in the same office together. We still can build this structure called the house so that someone can move into it and bring their family in it. We still can come up and say, hey, you know, we work for the same company and build this car so that someone can drive it safely. We still can do that. We still can do that. We has to put away the fussing back and forth and just stop putting stumbling blocks in our ways for our brothers and sisters who are in the faith and those who are out of the faith. We need to stop putting stumbling blocks in each other's way so that we keep falling and then we fussing over the same thing and nobody is progressing in any way, shape, or form. All right? Let's continue. So when we see the sea, just remember, stay in that ship, okay? Matthew chapter 13, verse 2. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. And he spake many things. We have to understand, if we start with the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, this is the word of God. And the word of God, he, Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, and he, the word of God, spake many things unto them in parables. Which mean, who are them? the multitude. See? And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, unto the word of God. And great multitudes were gathered unto the word of God. Okay? Unto him. So that he, the word of God, went into a ship. See? The word of God goes into a ship. See, he, the Son of God, the Word of God, goes into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he, the Word of God, spake many things unto them, the multitude, okay, in parables. So how did he speak unto the multitudes? In parables, saying, okay, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. A sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the flies came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. Okay, stony places where they have not much earth. I can really see in a lot of the local city communities, and when people say, hey man, I'm going in my backyard, then when you go in the backyard, you realize that the backyard is in the alley. They have a gate and the alley is right there, and it's all stone, and it has a little bit of grass, you know, a little bit of grass. But some people have come so far to just to get that place, see, just to get that house, you know. So I mean, to there are those who really can relate to stony places that do not have that much earth. It really don't produce for you. You want a garden and most of your yard is concrete, and you have about 20 feet of earth, and you have about 600 feet of concrete. That earth is not going to produce for you. So some people really can see, well, you can't plant no garden right there. I mean, you might plant something right there. Something might come from right there, you know. But then something might come across and eat it. Oh, I can never get this to grow because here comes some rodent and it comes and eat this little bit of garden. Oh, it just produced this one little thing. And this one little thing does not produce enough from the earth that I need for my body. With seed. See, because once the seed falls, here comes something that eats it, because this is not enough earth. It's not enough. Okay? It's not enough. So we're praying that it is the will of God that he gives you enough. See? Until you say, Lord, I'm satisfied. Right? Until you say, Lord, I'm satisfied. See? I heard that a man said a while back, he said, you cannot say you're old unless you are 80. I said, why you say that? He said, because now you have 40 years left on the earth. Now you have 40 years left on the earth. At 80 years old, a man can look to God and say, Lord, I'm satisfied. Or can say, Lord, bless me with that extra 40, with health, shalom, all up on me. See, bring that peace all up on me. See, so we're praying because there is prosperity in God. Because the Most High God says in the book of Psalms, riches and honor are with me. All right? So we're praying for that prosperity, because if the Shekhana is there, oh my goodness, what with the riches, what if God says, you know what, that's all I'm gonna say, and that's what we're praying for, and that's what we're asking God to bless you with, prosperity, with grace, mercy, with compassion. For God says, I shall have mercy on whom I choose. I shall have compassion on whom I choose. That's honor. Riches with honor. And for everyone who watched this, and with everyone who puts on a share, we pray that the will of God is upon you. Let His will be done in your life. There's something special, okay? There's something special about praying for the will of God in your life, okay? There's something special about praying for the will of God in your life. Why? Because it's the will of God. That's why. Notice, as we are in this Genesis 5 series, notice the first words that were spoken outside of the narrator, which is the Holy Spirit, who is reminding us, for I shall send another whom the world shall not receive, for they don't know him nor see him, but you know him, for he is with you and shall be in you. Okay? And this is how we know the scriptures. This is how we understand the scriptures. However, the first words that were spoken outside of the narrator, because the narrator tells us, God said, and God said, let there be light. So the first words are, let there be light. However, the Bible says, God said. See, the secret to the prayers, and we're going to talk about this again, the secret to the prayers are in what God said. See, the secret of the prayers are in what God said. Let thy will be done. How is his will going to be done unless he said it? See, unless he said it. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? To my brothers and sisters that hit that share that blessing, share that message, share that blessing, share that message, share to those who need to hear, how do I pray to God? Pray his will. Pray what he said, okay, in your life. Let's get back into the book of Matthew chapter 13 at verse 5. Hit that like button, that subscribe button, and that notification button so that you know when we do a study, brothers and sisters, and when we upload one. Who knows? You might be chilling somewhere, relaxing somewhere, on your vacation somewhere with your feet up. And you know what? You say, I want to hear the word of God. You might be holding, rocking the baby right now. You and your wife are sitting back, relaxing right now. And guess what you're doing? Hearing the word of God. You might be going through a situation that is happening that the word of God is the only thing that can deal with it right now. See? Right now. Only the word of God can deal with it right now. See? In your life right now. Only God can deal with this. Alright? Because the word of God is God. So if God is speaking, brothers and sisters, pray that his will, that his word, that God's will be done. Seek ye the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Then all these things shall be added. All these things shall be added. Let's pray, brothers and sisters, for a blessing of prosperity, regardless of what it is, into your life, into your home, And let's pray that the mercy of God enters in that prosperity. For God says, I shall have mercy on whom I choose, and I shall have compassion on whom he chooses. So it is up to God. So let's pray what he says, because what he says shall be done. Let's get back into this of why we see and why we're reading the Bible the way we do. And when we read it, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us this understanding. All right? It's the Holy Spirit that gives us this understanding. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, listen, pay attention, a sower went forth to sow. Verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds, fell by the wayside, and the flowers came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and some forthwith they sprung up. Some of them came up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7. Some fell among thorns. Some of these seeds fell among thorns. Okay? And the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Remember what John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. Okay? Falling on good ground, going into a good local congregation, it's going to bring forth fruit. You know them by their fruit. See? You know, bro, if you go to that local congregation over there, boy, you're not coming out the same, shorty. Okay? You're coming out as a repentant man. You go in that local congregation over there, you're not coming out the same, bro. You're coming out a little worse. Alright? You might come out thinking that you can do this, that, and that, and that. You go into this local congregation, you might stop everything you're doing. See? You're not coming out the same. Okay? You're coming out a repentant man. You're coming out, you are going in a man. But you're coming out a man of God. You're going in the son of a man. But you're coming out the son of God. You're going in as a Jezebel. But you're coming out as a woman of God. See? A woman of God. See? But shucks, others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear? Who has ears to hear? This is a parable. So in speaking in a parable, who has ears to hear, let him hear. The purpose of the parables. And the disciples came and said unto him, watch this, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Notice, the word of God is not coming unto the sons and daughters of the Most High God in parables, but it come out your mouth as one. It comes out your mouth to the point that people say, I don't understand nothing you're saying. It's coming out of your mouth to the way to some people that they say, well, you know, you crazy, man. I mean, nobody trying to hear that. I mean, you out there, but hey, I'm going to the movie to watch this man fly in space and fight this other man in space. You know, now that, I can get down with that. But you speaking about this over here, man, something wrong with you, bruh. See, it's coming. Watch what Christ says here. He's asking, why speak unto them in parables? So to the reader, it's not coming that way. Let the scripture explain it to us. He answered and says unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Wow! Look at that. Look at that below. Look at that right there on the screen. Brothers and sisters, I want to say to you, thank you for studying with us at verse by verse. Just know we're in Genesis chapter 1 at verse 2. We're looking at how we're reading the Word of God and how that men and women get to understand the scriptures. We will continue this study at Matthew chapter 13 verse 11. Until next time, I'm your host, Priest King, aka RT Jr. Hit that like button, that notification button, that subscribe button, so you know the next time we start up, because we gonna do Matthew chapter 13 at verse 11. Thank you.